We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Education Parenting with Dom Giordano and the First Lady of Education, Kathy Gana, coming up. You know, we like to bring you the big guest of the week from my 9 until noon show, Monday through Friday. And on Friday, I had on the vice president of the NJEA, New Jersey Education Association. They were on because they deeply opposed arming seemingly anyone in schools, be it teachers or administrators or something like that. We had quite a good discussion with their vice president. Here's how it sounded.
Thanks for having me. I'm a high school science teacher in Lincoln.
High school science. Okay. Sean, I could read the whole statement. Listeners are aware that why, in your view, did you guys come together to oppose even the notion of arming school people, personnel in schools?
Well, I'll tell you, I think it stems from the fact, I know, speak for myself and also for my colleagues throughout the state, I got into teaching to help educate kids. I got into teaching to help, you know, in my case, teach them science and help them learn and grow. It certainly was not to, you know, carry a gun, carry a weapon into a school and try and, you know, responsibly fire that weapon. God forbid it's needed. And I think that is just, you know, opposite of what we should be talking about and trying to do. You know, I think is really, quite frankly, a deflection from the conversation around how do we stop all of these shootings? You know, this conversation, it's about shootings in a school. But what about the shootings at a concert? What about the shooting in a nightclub? What about the shooting? I mean, we just go on. And it seems like the Trump NRA answer is always, we'll just give people more guns. And at some point, that can't be the solution.
Well, we're not saying everybody. I think what you're saying is a deflection. So let me go back to the schools. What is the particular objection? Is it just overall the objection to guns? What's the objection to arming? I said school personnel, Sean. So if not teachers, I'm a former teacher. They may not have told you that. Okay. There are 25 to 30 people, I bet, in the building where you're in most buildings that have an office where you could put a gun safe. If a teacher concealed carry doesn't want to do it, we're not saying all teachers. Some might. I know that's difficult. But what about the others? What would be wrong with that if they're trained?
I think really you run into a lot of problems. I think first off, you start introducing more and more weapons into a setting. I think all the studies have shown when you have a weapon available, it's more likely that someone's going to be killed from gun violence. So number one. Number two, I think in any situation, God forbid something were to happen in any school setting, having a number of armed individuals, some of whom maybe know who the other one is or don't, then you have officers or other armed, actually trained security personnel entering, and they're running into a building with a number of armed people, not sure who a shooter is or isn't, people shooting at, you know, who knows what. So I think it just gets to be a situation where you could quickly see how it could become so much more dangerous than it is in terms of beneficial. And what we should be talking about is how do we keep guns out of our schools?
Well, okay. Okay. What about the NGAA's position then on having an armed resource / cop, veteran, military person there that we know who it is armed, trained, and all that? Do you object to that?
No, right now we have school resource officers in many of our schools. And right now, you know, there are an armed police officer who, you know, obviously becomes very known in that individual school, who becomes familiar with the kids and the other staff, who knows them as well, who spends, you know, all of his or her time there. That's part of their job description. And of course, their main role is to introduce students to a police officer in a non-threatening manner. Yes, to keep the school, help to keep the school safe, to interact in a lot of different fronts. But, you know, that occurs now. That program exists now. It's
that's,
you know,
not that's in every school, though, Sean. That's mainly high schools, am I right?
No, it's in more than that, but it's certainly
it's not in every school.
It's a conversation about money again. Right now, we're talking about, you know, the ability of a school or a town or a district to afford the program. That's a different conversation, and you know, we've always been advocates for our schools. Our educational system absolutely needs more money to do everything that we're being asked to do. And I'm in agreement with that statement, and I think we need more of those dollars, and that would certainly allow more schools to participate.
Well, I would say we need to have them in there. Maybe we ought to be cutting some things that don't rise to the level of protecting kids by having someone armed there.
Well, I got to tell you, Board of Eds are constantly making difficult decisions every day. And the problem we have, too, though, is that, look, long-term for our society, if we want to have people who can contribute, we want to have well-rounded individuals, yes, we got to make sure they're safe. We also got to make sure that they learn. We got to make sure they got the tools that they need. So it's a tough conversation, but I think it's one that we're all engaging in constantly.
Well, let's go back to it. We see now clearly, we haven't seen the tape yet, but a resource officer slash Broward County or Parkland, Florida, did not respond here 4 or 5 minutes, did not engage the shooter. And that's why people, I don't know if you saw this, Sean, I know you're teaching, but this morning's one of the headlines is hundreds of Ohio teachers are wanting to be armed, and I'm not sure they're concealed carry, and a local sheriff is offering free training. They're taking them up on it. You don't think in the NJEA that there are teachers that want to do this?
Hey, look, I think in any organization there are individuals who want to do something, or in the unfortunate case you just cited with that officer, not do something. But I don't think that's indicative of the whole in either case. So, you know, I look at it again, you know, as educators, as a teacher myself, but all of us in the educational realm, you know, we got into this. You know, I went to school and did everything I did to become a teacher and to work with kids in that capacity. It wasn't to carry a gun around the school. And I think it doesn't make kids feel safer. In many instances, I think knowing that their teacher has a gun is not a good thing. And I think that it doesn't help the teaching and learning environment. So
why? Wait a minute, though. I got into teaching, too, just as you, to do that. But also protection is part of this. Looking out for the flock, so to speak. We don't trust teachers with the ability to do that. When we honor teachers, I think they're capable, certainly, of being able to do this well.
Well, I think, I think teachers are very capable, and I think they should be honored and not honored enough, and I appreciate your previous service as a teacher and your fact of speaking to that. But I also say that, you know, trusting someone and them responsibly making sure their kids are safe is different than carrying a gun. As educators, as a teacher myself, I make sure kids are safe by welcoming all students into my classroom, by making sure no one's disrespected, by making sure they learn how to interact with each other, by all the things that we associate with educating someone and teaching them. To then bring a gun into that environment, you know, I don't know if you've, you know, if you fired a gun or been around.
Yeah, I have fired. Yes, I have. Yes.
Then you know the dynamic that's created when you bring a gun into any situation. It changes the dynamic, you know, and I think that's not something that we really want to be.
Tell me what you mean by that, though. So kids would see this teacher in what way if they're carrying a weapon to protect everybody, and the NJEA and others would be involved in the training, what's necessary, mental health, review of that every year, all those things.
Well, what are we talking about here now? If we're talking about us becoming law enforcement officers, you know, that's a different career. That's not what we got into this for. And quite frankly, that's not what we need to do when we're talking about educating kids in our schools. We're talking about an issue that is really about too many guns and people getting guns who shouldn't have them. Not about not enough people.
All right. So what's the position of the NJEA? Yeah, I should have asked you this since you're at the executive level. Sean Spiller with us. They want to do what then on the big gun issues? Are there policies that the NJEA has on paper, Sean, that have endorsed?
Well, I'd say this. Look, we are absolutely for responsible gun measures. Now, we all are talking about the fact that it is too easy to get a military-style assault weapon of mass destruction, mass murder.
Oh, so let me just interrupt and ask, would the NJEA position be to ban AR-15s and other so-called assault weapons?
Look, I'd say, you know, a full-out ban is a conversation that I think all of the politicos need to engage in. But I think certainly we need to look at how easy is it to get them? What do the background checks look like? Why is it that they're available with, you know, the magazine sizes that they are? You know, all of these things are part of that discussion.
But I'm asking clearly, though, is there a position or is it just saying let's have a discussion?
Well, the conversation for us as educators is always have a discussion, but absolutely we would take the position that it is way too easy to get those weapons and they should be more restricted to the you know, military personnel and others that need them.
So banned from the general public?
I'm not saying banned from the general public. Again, you know, we take issues around issues that affect, you know, school employees in schools, right? And I would tell you this, they should be banned from schools. You know,
we all agree, but look, you guys are a big powerhouse policy and various, you know, election cycles and all that. And I'm just trying to be clear. It's not just about schools. You said only police and others ought to have these. I would say that the average citizen in the position is shouldn't have them.
Oh, well, look, Again, that's part of a bigger, broader discussion.
Okay.
When it affects and comes into schools specifically, absolutely not, should not be their ban, and we shouldn't be bringing more guns in. When we're talking specifically about what the law should be more broadly, I think there is, quite frankly, overwhelmingly popular support for limiting access to those types of weapons. I think that's across the board, and even with gun owners, I think that's not something that should be controversial.
But there's no position, though. In other words, if we had somebody running for office, all things being equal, the NJEA could support someone who is not in favor of an assault weapon ban.
I quite frankly, I don't know the voting record of every one of them.
Okay.
On those issues, but I would say this. We have absolutely endorsed individuals that I really don't know what their position is on assault weapons, because when we do our screening process, you know, our questions are usually much more focused around the educational sphere. So, as the conversation broadens, maybe that becomes something
okay.
that our broad screening committees want to look at. But specifically, we ask, usually more, unfortunately, this is now becoming, right, an educational question, but we focus on our school.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming on today. I hope you guys will consider coming back again, because this will continue. There's a lot of issues. And again, I salute someone that's doing both of these things and still teaching.
Hey, listen, thank you for having me on. And thanks also for engaging the conversation. Something I agree we have to continue.
Well, as I said, I thought that was a really good conversation. You hear the two sides. You hear where I am and where they are. You decide what is better, safer, and more reasonable. Coming up, the First Lady of Education here, Kathy Gannon, is with us with her tips of the week. All right, everyone. It's that time of the week where we settle in and get all the best information to help our kids and everything else that's involved. Let's bring in the First Lady of Education, Kathy Gannon. She's here with her tips of the week. Hey, Kathy, what do you have this week?
Well, this week, after watching the Olympics, I thought I would just do a little metaphor of the Olympics to raising teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
If we were in the Olympics, we would definitely want to do our best and practice, and we'd be in pain, and it would be so much work. But what I find is that, we work so hard as adults to have children, and especially people that aren't blessed to be able to get pregnant easily and all. And so we do so much to do work to have a child. And then in the beginning years, it's, a lot of mm-hmm. pain physically and lots of powder and love, and it's all good. And we work then to do so much for this child that we work so hard for. And we love so much. But I've said before that a lot of people are on sort of a 10-year plan. For the first 10 years, mm-hmm. they pretty much say what we need them mm-hmm. to say and do what we want them to do. And then at 11, 12, everything sort of goes south. And many times parents start to feel that feeling of they're not accepted by the child doesn't love them anymore. And it's just the normal piece of where the next 10 years are after the first 10. So that's why we all love our little pets, because the pets never become teenagers and ignore us or hurt our feelings or whatever. But, boy, if we really wanted to be Olympic parents, which we do want to be when they're little and when we're trying to get pregnant, it would be wonderful if as teenagers we worked in the same way. So this week, I really want to talk about seniors,
mm-hmm.
graduate teenagers. They're still teenagers, yet they are young people and they, young adults, and they are learning tremendously. But I think right now, if every parent, grandparent, and teacher were to do a little bit of senior therapy and preset the seniors, I think that these last few months would be much more positive, much more productive,
mm-hmm.
and the kids would be much more prepared in the end. So right now what's trending is positive commercials. If anybody watched the commercials in Olympics, they're beautiful. Everyone's trying to say we need to be together as a family, as a nation, as a world. And it's trending also. I don't know whether you know downtown, how back in the 60s, mm-hmm. there were poetry meetings.
Sure.
You could read your poetry.
Exactly.
Stand-up comedy still.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's trending now down there is spoken word nights.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, somebody can get up and speak these powerful, positive words that will affect the world and change someone's thinking. And so positive is actually trending sort of at the moment. So that's a great time to think about the fact that who do we want to be successful? Of course we want adolescents and teenagers, but we work with them probably the least in growing as people. Everybody wants to have them learn as students, do a better job learning. But the reality is we're not working with them in a three-dimensional kind of way and helping them to be in a positive power mode. Teenagers automatically many times think very negatively, and parents forget, as well as we as teachers, that in that mode of operation, mm-hmm. not too much is going to come out, because if they don't have positive feelings, they can't give out
exactly
to themselves or others positive feelings. So I'm sort of asking parents and teachers again, and the grandparents or relatives, to sort of talk it and walk it. It benefits ourselves, because when we teach, we learn. And obviously, it's going to benefit the seniors. So it's really about, so many people say, oh, you know, there's all the negative memes we hear about teachers. Oh, they're too much work. They don't really care. Nobody appreciates it. There aren't many positive things that are given mm-hmm. out. And yet, adolescents can be the most positive people with a little bit of work and depends on their personalities, but that's not always fed, so that can go down as well. But, you know, a study has just been out there with exercise, Dom,
right.
that if we go about our daily job each mm-hmm. day thinking about how this time I take the steps that, you know,
right.
might lose a half a pound there, and we're thinking of as we're walking, it's pacing, and that's even trending because of all the Apple Watch kind of thing and mm-hmm. the computers and the phones. So if we're more aware that we want our teenagers to be better as human beings, and we go about our day with that awareness, whether we're in teaching or whether we're taking care of kids as grandparents or parents, I think, again, that awareness would rub off on the kids as well, if that's what our goal is, to be a better parent, grandparent, teacher to adolescents. It really does take a village with adolescents, and that's not something that a lot of villages are going toward. We all want to raise the kids and take care of them those first 10 years. But for 40 years, I've seen that, and because I
sure.
also run the tutoring studio,
mm-hmm.
I can see the ages of the children that get to, you know, come in for tutoring and where it goes downhill, et cetera, et cetera. So loving figure skating, I have a little analogy to that. Last night was the big free skate, and
right.
some of the girls did their jumps, but they step out of them at a certain point. And I think that's where we're all great figure skating with the younger children. And then when they get a little older and don't show appreciation, or they don't seem like they care, we start to care less ourselves, and we step out of the jumps just when they need us to jump higher with them, et cetera. So we need to try how to be a better parent
mm-hmm.
to this older
sure.
Human being that is now with us. They really are, I always say, when you keep baby pictures around, that definitely helps with adolescent years. And, you know, when they're 14, if you get a test, try to take a copy and turn around and put it on the fridge, because 4-year-olds, we do that for, but all 14 is 4 plus 10 years,
mm-hmm.
all 16 years is 10 plus 6 years. So I would love to see parents and schools making more of the senior experience outside of academics. So I just want to go down some of the things that we do here to help our seniors, because
okay.
our kids are so bright and so
mm-hmm.
Creative. So, but sometimes there are slower bloomers, late bloomers in every school in America, every high school. Kids that are more worried about leaving high school walls and kids that are more worried about the experience of college, et cetera, et cetera. So I think even though maybe in January we did some goals, I think it's nice that beginning of March, 2 months later, that if you
sit down
with a kid with a piece of paper and say, let's think a little bit,
right.
I'm going to do it, you're going to do it. So do the goals thing again and help them to find out what are they missing, you know, what's going down that might hurt them as a senior. And little by little, it's amazing how much they'll open up to you when they feel that you're putting in that time for them. So so giving them time to find out what do they need, how can you better help them get through this senior year. And the kindness word, if we all just thought of kindness, we'd help every senior in America.
Sure.
Help them to not turn in less work, but help them you know, structure their time so they can complete their work as a senior. And remember the socialization. They need more freedom to feel that they're capable of doing more things as they're leaving. They're scared death of leaving many times, but then they act like they don't want to see their parents.
Mm-hmm.
But deep down, they don't know how to, they're going to act in social environments. And this generation of all, Dom, is so isolated. They've been so isolated. They're a generation that grew up from birth with all the electronics around them. So the socialization piece, whether if you have a small party or something you're doing and you never brought them down before, they didn't really care. Senior year, maybe bring them down, try to get them to help you in some way, shape, or form. Service kind of things at churches or a lot of the kids really get into the soup kitchens. They want to help. They like that. But it's a lot of work to make that happen for a parent or a teacher. All the prep work to get some kids down into a soup kitchen. But it's very, very worth it, and especially, again, for seniors. So, and the next thing, the last thing, is put some more pomp and circumstance around it.
Right.
Before the actual day, and help them to talk about everything from class rings to the senior prom to pictures, and pay some attention to, you know, if there are awards out there. This is a nice time to say to a kid, you know, do you want the science award? You've been working so hard. Yeah, but it's really hard this year, and maybe you get them into tutoring with us or anyone, or you just work with them more. But try to get to know the senior brain, and we all talk, too, about getting to help the seniors that are up there in age, but these are the seniors of the moment. So let's go for the Olympics. Let's try for gold and put out the best year of seniors that are really prepared to be successful and socialize and add better things to the world.
All righty, and they can always reach you with help, coaching of all kinds of sorts, at 800-300-0003.
That's the word, coaching. So everybody have a hoop-filled week.
All right, thanks, Kathy. Thanks
Bye-bye.
Very much. There's Kathy Gana, the First Lady of Education. Reach her at 800-300-0003 for everything, tutoring, testing, advice, the archives of those columns, 800-300-0003. Join me Monday morning, 9 until noon. We'll catch you up on all that's happening with schools and armed guards and guns and the president. Have a great Sunday, everyone. Dom Giordano with you. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.